Welcome to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. Here's your host, Neil Solons.
Thanks for joining us. Great to see so many of you at FanFest. Welcome to our show just before the spring training games begin. And with that, let's begin the podcast with Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times. And Mark, it's kind of nice that starting Wednesday, we do have games to talk about. We've seen our fair share of PFPs and probably enough live batting practice, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it does get a little mundane, Neil, but, you know, as someone obviously as observant as you are, you can walk around the fields and pick up lots of little things they're doing, too. And one difference I noticed, and I talked to Evan Longoria about it, and he said it was a focus. Kevin Cass mentioned it to them, that they're trying to eliminate some of the dead time between some of the drills. So you see them, you know, a little bit more pep in their step. You see them going from, you know, kind of an on-field drill, a PFP or something like that, right into a chalk talk kind of session, back and forth, just trying to, you know, keep it moving, keep it action, get the most out of the work while they're on the field.
And I think they certainly have done that, at least from what we've seen over the past couple of weeks. FanFest, again, a success. 16,000-plus people at Tropicana Field. Great event. A little hairy for some of the players in U2 just trying to get there. I-75, a bit of a mess on Saturday.
Yeah, there were a couple accidents, and obviously you certainly feel for the people involved in those. But, you know, just some traffic buildup, too. They're calling it, quote-unquote, congestion on those little electronic message signs, and that's probably a much kinder word than most of the people stuck in it have used. And just a heads up for people, you know, if you're coming, and the many thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, listening to this podcast starring Neil Solons, but you know, if you're coming south to Port Charlotte, or if you're going to Sarasota, or vice versa, you're going north from this end, you better give yourself some extra time, because that exit at University and 75 has just been a mess with a capital M.
And I am one of the many thousands who has passed through there, too, and found that same thing. So, yes, I would double that warning for those of you driving through. You know, you do weekly, during spring training in the Tampa Bay Times, a look at what the Rays roster may be. You kept it status quo for a second straight week. Give us a little insight as to that.
Yeah, I mean, in this particular exercise, it's still very early, because really these decisions aren't going to be made until those last week or 10 days. But we do it every Sunday. It's kind of a fun thing to get people thinking about it. And, you know, right now I think the one question that is definitely fair game is what they're going to do with the catching situation. There's three catchers, and you could make a case for any combination of those two, whether it's Hank Conger and Ray Rivera, or Rivera and Casale, Casale and Conger. There's different ways, and you make a good case either way. So that, to me, is one of the most interesting early ones. We're not going to get an answer yet unless there's an injury, but you know, there's some other questions, too. I mean, how is that last bullpen spot or last two spots arguably going to be assigned? And even the other thing is, which we won't even get into this until the last week, 10 days, is the Rays have a lot of off days early on. They have, I think it's 6 off days in the first 5 weeks of the season. So they very well could open with a 25-man roster with only 10 or 11 or 12 pitchers. You know, they could do that differently and be short a couple arms early on because they don't need that fifth starter. So you could see all three catchers, for example. You could see an extra outfielder, an extra bat. They could move guys up and down based on opponents, all kinds of ways to do it.
Yeah, they do have flexibility. There's no question about that. In fact, not only 6 first 5 weeks, 8 in the first 47 days of the season. That's a lot. Inordinably high number. You know, you talked about the bullpen. The Rays are going a little slow with some of their bullpen arms based on the workload that they had last year.
They are, and you know, again, you know, I speak to the powers of observancy, and we're joking about it, but you know, it's not just walk around on the field and notice who's participating and who isn't. And you know, we saw that Alex Colome and Xavier Cedeno were not participating early on, and that, it turns out, it is by design, based on their heavy workload in 2015, based on their projected heavy usage in 2016. Those guys are about a week or so behind the other pitchers. No one's hurt or anything. That's just the way the Rays have it set up. And you're going to see Brad Boxberger, I think, get backed off a little bit as well. They're trying to conserve his workload. He only may pitch, say, in 7 or 8 spring training games as opposed to 9 or 10 that maybe he would have done in the past.
One guy who is working, and we've seen plenty of him, and he's made quite an impression, even though it's just live BP, that's Blake Snell.
What a story. I mean, it's you know, you can't not talk to people about him. You can't not write about it because everyone's raving about the kid. And, you know, he's still 23, and he's a little, you know, taller than his body at this point, and a little lanky and a little goofy and all that. But, you know, what a pitcher. And, you know, Kevin Cash, I thought, had certainly in the Kevin Cash standards anyway, one of his best quotes he's ever had. And he said that watching Blake Snell is like watching a 12-year-old kid throwing 98 miles an hour. And that's a pretty good way to put it. So it's curious. You learn something every day. Here's something that, you know, I know you know everything, but maybe something you didn't know. Blake Snell pitches, as we can see, really, really well left-handed, but he signs autographs and does everything else right-handed.
I thought that was pretty cool. And what also was pretty cool, and I did learn a lot about this, was your feature on Steve Geltz and his kind of rags-to-riches story that you documented in Sunday's Tampa Bay Times. What was the most interesting thing that you picked up in researching it?
Thanks, Neil. And you know, to me, that was kind of a tale of perseverance and a tale of serendipity and hard work all mixed together. But the most interesting part to me was, you know, here's Steve Gels pitching for a team in the Northeast Collegiate Baseball League and not knowing if he can even go back for senior year in college because he had a little bit of a suspension issue going on. And they end up, by just good fortune, being on the schedule for Team USA, which brings a bunch of scouts into town. And then there's a deal in a place between a scout who's been watching him to tell the team not to pitch him. And then the coach says, no, I can't do that to the kid. I'm going to pitch him. He goes out and has one of the best innings of his life. He gets signed the next day. And here we are, you know, that was 2008. Here we are 7, 8 years later, and he's a key part of the Tampa Bay Rays bullpen in the big leagues.
Yes, not only last year, but certainly this year, and we'll see if many years to come. You know, one thing that we think is to come is a trip to Cuba. We don't have anything definitive yet, but Tony Clark, executive director of the Players Association, was in town to discuss that on Friday and much more.
Yeah, and I think, you know, from everything Tony Clark has said, I talked to Rob Manfred last Friday. He was down in the Naples area, drove down to see him. Certainly knowing how much work the Rays people are putting into this. I mean, there are some elaborate plans that they have spent, you know, hundreds of hours on. So they everyone expects this to get approved. I think it'll be sooner than later. I think the trip will happen. And I think, you know, we'll all get down there and you know, hopefully you'll be able to come out of the island as well.
I hope so, too, and hopefully it's an enjoyable trip for the Rays. Again, assuming it does happen, there's a lot more enjoyable things to come. Again, starting with the games, and the guy who will be covering it for the Tampa Bay Times every day is Mark Topkin-Topper. Thanks again for being on the podcast.
As I tell you each time, Neil, always the highlight of my day, if not the week and month.
That's Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times. Now, several interesting interviews we had in Rays camp this week. A couple of them I'd like to highlight. Let's start with pitcher Matt Andrees, who at this time a year ago probably was not really high on the radar screen. But he ended up making the Rays opening day roster and then was up and down five different times on the Durham Shuttle, finishing with 25 appearances for the Rays, including 3 wins and 2 saves. Now he hopes to stick with Tampa Bay, and I asked Matt what he learned from last year.
I think last year helped. In a sense that I can pitch in any like any situation during the game, you know. If they want me to start, if they want me to relief, I kind of got a wide variety of like opportunities last year. So, you know, even coming in the middle relief or even like, you know, like if they need like 3 innings to close the game out. I've done that before too. So, yeah, it was just good to get some experience and build off it for this year.
How much did it help your confidence? Because it's one thing to get to the big league. It's another to kind of be at that stage where, hey, I believe I belong here.
Yeah, it is huge, you know. First couple months, you know, kind of feel your way through it. And when I went back down to AAA, I kind of worked on some things with Schneider. And after that, just came back up and, you know, just trying to have a little bit more confidence. And going into this year, you know, just feel a little bit more comfortable. You know, coaching staff has seen me play before and pitch and kind of learned a lot from them. So hopefully they have good trust in me this year and just build off of it.
Kevin Cash had said, you know, the first couple of bullpens you threw, you look like a major leaguer, the way you carry yourself, the crispness, the fluidity of your stuff. Do you feel different this year than you did a year ago, stuff-wise, the way you carry yourself?
Yeah, I think I just have a better idea about how I want to get guys out and just kind of worked on that during the off season, you know, trying to get my changeup a little bit better and just work on the high fastball and a breaking ball below the zone. And just really worked on that this off season and got a little stronger in the lower half, got a little better workout regimen going. So, yeah, I feel like this year should be good.
Was that in design? You mentioned the types of things you did based on, hey, you got through a major league season, you kind of realized here's some things I need to do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, like seeing last year and how, you know, kind of had a little up and down there towards the end of the year, just to take the successful part of my season and try and build off that and work on that, you know. And I got to thank like the coaching staff to, you know, letting me know like what my strengths are. So,
how do you view yourself, starter, reliever? Obviously, coming up through the Padres organization, you were a starter, and you started a lot last year, too.
Yeah. I still view myself as a starter, but with our strong rotation we have here and all that, you know, in the AL East, I think that this year, you know, I'll do whatever they need me to do. I'd rather be start if somebody goes down or, you know, if rather be like long relief or whatever I did last year. So I still view myself as a starter long term, but, you know, whatever I can do to help the team out this year, I'm more than happy to do that.
You mentioned kind of strengthening your lower half. I know a lot was made from Jake Odorizzi last year. He put on 20 pounds a year ago. He put on another 5 or 6 for this year. Did you put on? Are you bigger than last year?
Yeah, I think I just worked on staying a little bit more fit. And last year was tough to get in a routine because you never knew when I was going to be pitching. But I kind of built off that this offseason. Probably I'm about the same weight, but kind of added some muscle, cut down some fat. So hopefully I can build off that for this year and keep the good routine going.
You also had a pretty busy offseason, not only working out, but you had your jersey retired for your high school. What was that like?
It was fun. You know, it was a little last-minute thing. They told me my number was going to be retired, and it was fun to go there. And it was during a camp, so they had a bunch of kids there, and it was fun to have it retired in front of a bunch of local Redlands kids that, you know, can see how someone like myself got through high school and college and kind of made it through. So it's pretty cool situation, yeah.
That's righty pitcher Matt Andrees, one of three players acquired in a trade with San Diego that's made the majors. Logan Forsyth, Brad Boxberger, certainly two key pieces for this year, were the others. Now, Andrees was acquired via trade, but the Rays also have some really interesting players in camp that are homegrown, and Taylor Motter is among them. Drafted in 2011, Motter was just added to the 40-man roster for the first time this offseason. The MVP with Durham a year ago, Motter told me what it meant to be added to the Rays 40-man roster.
Oh, it's great. You know, it's another step in your career and another step in the right direction. And I'm excited to see what the future holds and just attack every day like it's my last and see what happens.
You also played winter ball for a second straight season. Last year was Venezuela. This year it was the Dominican. How different were the experiences from a cultural standpoint?
The Dominican's a little more better off, I would say, than Venezuela. But in Venezuela, I was on the island, so it wasn't all terrible. The Dominican was great. You know, they're tough to compare, but I had a good time last year and this year. And, you know, I wouldn't mind making the Dominican a home for winter ball for a couple more years and see what happens.
The biggest difference on the field was the fact that you got to play some shortstop. Whose directive was that and how gratifying was it? Because you really haven't played a lot of shortstop since you joined the Rays system.
Yeah, I haven't really had the opportunity, and that's fine. You know, you turn me into a utility guy, and I've taken full advantage of it and been happy to do it. But to hear I was going to go down there and get to play short consistently was it just was like a blessing. God, you know, God came down, lined up all the stars, and it just happened. It wasn't. Now I don't know how much the Rays had to do with it or outside factors. I just know they called me and said, "Hey, we need an opening day guy, and we need you to get down here so we can see what you have." And you know, I was on the next flight, ready to go.
And now you're getting the opportunity, I would think, in camp to play some shortstop too, because it would seem that that's fairly important to show, hey, I can be a true utility guy.
Yeah, I feel like if you could play short, you can pretty much get the other ones down. Like you said, you got to build a foundation at one spot in the infield and work around from there. And I mean, the outfield's still there too. It's not like I'm just moving to the infield. I'm a utility guy, so we're going to keep every option available. You know, it's not just going to be infield here and there. But if it is, then I'm a happy camper and I'm ready to go on and do what they want to do.
How many gloves do you have, and what is your, let's say, on a game day routine, even in spring training, what is your routine in terms of taking ground balls, fly balls at various spots?
Well, I have seven gloves that I'll be bringing. I only have a couple here now, but I'll be bringing 7 gloves. And a daily routine will be, you know, get an idea where I'm going to play that day. If it's the outfield, I'll take some fly balls, and I'll take maybe a couple rounds of ground balls. But if I'm playing infield, I'll take some ground balls, whatever position I'm playing, and you know, take it in and hit and get ready for the game.
I know when we talked last year, when you came to your first camp, you mentioned the influence that Ben Zobrist had on you. Who do you lean on in this camp to continue to grow, and who are some guys you seek some advice, information from? You try and evolve and make a big league club for the first time.
You know, both Logans have been great. Morrison and Forsyth have been really good. I work out with Logan Morrison in the off season, so he's been fun to be around, been fun to hang out with. You know, a guy who's been a really good guy since I've been here. Not just everybody here is pretty good and open and willing to help no matter what. So I wouldn't say there's just one guy. There's a couple specific guys, but everyone's a pretty big help in seeking information and things like that.
You had a terrific year in Durham last year. I mean, you put up probably your best numbers offensively. From an overall standpoint, where are the things or areas that you want to grow this year?
Wow, that's a good question. I wouldn't say grow. I want to stay consistent. In this game, my goal is to stay consistent, and from what I understand, that's everyone else's goal too. If you can stay consistent, have the years, and keep producing the way you are, then that's what it is. I'm getting a year older, or I'm growing a little bit more, maybe maturity-wise, or you know, maybe my brain's thinking a little bit different. But other than that, I just want to stay consistent and have continually good years so the way I have, and that's what I'm looking forward to going into this season.
Utility guys don't know where they're going to play. Hey, at the major league level, you may not play an assistant basis. I haven't seen you play regularly, but a lot of people talk about the fact that you have a fairly short swing. How helpful is that, do you think, in the utility role?
I think it plays. If you stay nice, short, and easy, you know, you don't have to get consistent at bats to hopefully put together a good at bat. Having a nice, short, easy swing is going to help be more consistent, like we just talked about, and being consistent is what leads you into having a good career or being what you want to be, and I think that's what plays the most.
That's Taylor Motter now evolving into a true super utility by showing the ability to play shortstop. We do daily interviews with Motter and others in Rays camp. Catch them all at raysradio.mlblogs.com. Now don't forget, our next Countdown to Opening Day show airs this Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. with shortstop Brad Miller and hitting coach Derek Shelton. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.